Around Champaign-Urbana later today, a slight chance of showers. Occasional showers this afternoon, the high 45 degrees. A good chance of rain near 100%, winds up to 15 miles an hour. Occasional rain this evening, thunderstorms possible, not as cold, the low 42 degrees, and temperatures will rise to the 50s after midnight, wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 58 degrees, wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 52 degrees, winds up to 25 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy Saturday with a high of 55, temperatures falling to the 40s in the afternoon. Rain likely Saturday night, colder, freezing rain or sleet likely after midnight, the low 32. Mostly cloudy Sunday, a chance of snow, sleet or rain in the morning, the high 32 degrees, temperatures falling into the afternoon. Mostly cloudy Sunday night, the low 19. Partly cloudy Monday, the high 28. The low Monday night, 20 degrees. Right now in Bloomington, we have 41 degrees. Danville, we've got 40, 39 in Decatur. At Willard Airport, 39 degrees and 41 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
It's 12:41. Some Illinois Republican Party bosses are now joining the call for their chairman to resign. That's after Pat Brady bucked the party line last week and urged lawmakers to approve same-sex marriage. Now Illinois Republicans are doing some political soul-searching. Alex Keefe has more.
Here's the political bombshell dropped by GOP Chairman Pat Brady. He offered his, quote, full support for same-sex marriage legislation in Springfield, and it was his own BlackBerry that blew up.
One of the groups that doesn't agree with me published my cell and my email.
So he rang in the new year, literally.
A lot of time answering calls from all over the country. Funny thing, though, is most of them were supportive.
Brady says he's long felt the GOP was wrong to oppose same-sex marriage on moral and political grounds. That's despite his party's platform, which says marriage is for one man and one woman. Last week, it looked like state lawmakers would vote on the issue. Some Senate Republicans rallied against it, but their leader spoke out on his own.
And if people want to throw me out because I took a stand on an issue of discrimination, the chairman of the Republican Party, the party founded by Abraham Lincoln, then they're free to do it, but I'm not backing down.
But Pat Brady is not the only one who started getting a lot of calls last week.
My phones start ringing. Phones from the tip of Illinois to the Wisconsin border.
Bobby Peterson is a longtime member of the Republican State Central Committee, a group of the top party bosses in Illinois. And Peterson says those calls were about what the heck Pat Brady was thinking when he broke with the party's stance on same-sex marriage, publicly, without telling other party leaders beforehand. Peterson wants Brady gone.
He's a pretty face for TV. He can speak well. Period. But what's coming out of his mouth is not what the Illinois Republican Party is about.
So I asked several Republican committeemen, what do they think the party should be about now? They said fiscal conservatism, especially when the state's budget is a train wreck.
See, this is exactly the issue and the problem I have with this whole thing.
Committeeman Chris Kacharubas tells me news stories like this one explain why Brady's got to go. They're distractions.
You and I are having this the conversation, and we're not talking about how we get the Illinois out of the hole it's in.
But Brady says it's the Illinois Republican Party that has dug a political hole, especially after a dismal showing in November's elections. He points to polls that suggest if the party softened its stance on same-sex marriage, it could attract more young people and suburban women.
We need to change the brand or the image of the party of this group of angry old white guys. And that's what we look like right now.
This is the kind of talk that got some GOP leaders angry in the first place. But anger alone won't unseat Pat Brady. That would take votes in the party's central committee, and it's not clear they have them. I'm Alex Keefe.
It's 12:44. Most women give birth in the hospital, and some would not have it any other way. But there are other women who prefer to have their babies in the comfort of their own home, in the care of a midwife. Last January, a government study by the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics found home births in the United States jumped 29% between 2004 and 2009. In recent years, an average of 30,000 babies, or 1% of all babies, are born at home. But year to year, the number of home births is increasing. In the third of our series on home birth and midwifery in Illinois, we hear from Amy and Mike Russell of Bloomington. They interviewed each other in StoryCorps style about why they chose home birth with a certified nurse midwife for their third child after having a cesarean for their first and a natural hospital vaginal birth after cesarean, known as VBAC, for their second. Here's an excerpt from their interview.
What was the happiest moment of Katie's birth for you?
It's hard to just pick one moment, but I think just the moment when she came out and just looking at your face and just the tears of joy that we both had in our eyes as we're looking at her was just really remarkable for me to witness and be part of this and realize we did this. Did you have a moment that...
I think after the 26 hours, your water broke, and then 26 hours, you know, when labor finally started, I knew that that it was going to work out, that, you know, I always had in the back of my mind, we might have to go to the hospital. This is kind of unusual. And the hours kept going by and you kept being more exhausted. So one of the happiest points for me was when it actually started.
The level of care was just so different. In a hospital situation, this would have been an emergency and we would have needed to have had Pitocin to get contractions starting, or we would have had a C-section. Mm-hmm. And Brandy, our certified nurse midwife, said, you know what, you're okay. You know what, 36 hours, we'll just talk and we'll have a discussion about what we need if we need to transfer. But at this point, you're at low risk for infection, so there isn't anything that we need to be concerned about. And for me,
right,
those, just the different level of care that we received was just so incredible.
We did use...
evidence-based care.
Right. That's what I was picturing when I first heard about people having home births, that they just had the baby at home by themselves and hoped for the best. But was it 2 weeks? We would go see our
midwife.
Our midwife and get checkups and listen to the heart tones and do everything that we did with the other two at our doctor's office at the time.
Right, and I think that was an important thing, I think, to help ease our minds about this home birth, was we did keep dual care, that if we needed to go to the hospital, we had a midwife and an OBGYN that could support us at the hospital. And that really eased my mind that if we did have to go to the hospital, even though I saw something, that was a scary moment to think about going to the hospital.
What words would you use to describe Katie's birth?
I think eerily peaceful is still the two words I've been telling everybody about it, just because when you look on TV shows, it's always this big emergency and are they going to, you know, make it to the hospital on time, and is the baby going to be born in the car, or, oh my goodness,
high anxiety,
the baby's in distress, oh my goodness, we got to watch his heart rate. And even with Rachel's birth, if you remember, it was a very intense birth. Rachel's our middle daughter, and it was a very intense birth. Of 3-hour labor,
and it was still looking for an emergency.
They
almost found one with her heart rate.
Right, and that monitor that they made me wear, because I was a VBAC, I had to wear it continually. It kept picking up those heart tones that were
incorrect.
Were incorrect, and they actually were my heart tones. Mm-hmm. And so throughout our births, there's always been this big emergency that this had this emergency situation, and really there. Really wasn't any emergency in any of our childbirths at all, that there weren't any. And that's what having a home birth midwife here to be able to recognize, you know, the right way and about natural childbirth and understanding natural childbirth, is she's able to look for the signs there could be trouble, but she's not waiting for there to be trouble.
Right.
It's just incredible.
And, you know, Brandy, our certified nurse midwife, did a lot for us, and it was great having her there with her knowledge and experience. But I think our doula, really, Lauren made a huge difference in the tone of the birth, I guess. There were a lot of times where we could have got real worked up.
Right.
And it was nice having her there to center us a little bit. The first time I heard about someone having a home birth was, I think, in our Bradley class.
Yes.
I'm like, these people are nuts. You know, that's so irresponsible to have a baby outside of the hospital. I think that's a lot of people's knee-jerk reaction when they hear that.
The more and more these stories are shared, I think the more that we can get it out in the open, that how great and how safe home birth really and truly is.
And not have a stigma attached to it.
Right.
Amy and Ben Russell's story is part of our special series on home birth and midwifery in Illinois. Tomorrow in Part 4, look for our news feature story on midwifery and home birth here and during Morning Edition, and join us at 10 tomorrow morning when we conclude our series on Focus. Be part of the conversation with our guests. Ina Mae Gaskin, a certified professional midwife, author and activist. Ray Spooner, a certified nurse midwife. Carl Hospital and Rachel Wickersham, certified professional midwife and president of the Coalition for Illinois Midwifery. Your comments and questions are welcome then and now at will-talk@illinois.edu. For more information about the entire series, visit our website, will.illinois.edu, and search for Home Birth, or find us on Twitter with the hashtag ILHomeBirth.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 10th of January, 2013. It's the birthday of the poet Dorian Laux, born Augusta, Maine, 1952, a single mom who worked various jobs at a gas station, a sanatorium, a donut shop, as a housemaid, and started writing her poems in her books Facts About the Moon and The Book of Men. It's the birthday of the poet Philip Levine, born Detroit, 1928. He was working at an auto manufacturing plant and decided to write about the men he worked with. He said, in terms of the literature of the United States, they weren't being heard. Nobody was speaking for them. And as young people will, I took this foolish vow that I would speak for them, and that's what my life would be, and sure enough, I've gone and done it. It was on this day in 1776, an anonymous pamphlet was published, 46 pages long, in Philadelphia, a pamphlet called Common Sense, explaining why the American colonies should declare their independence from Great Britain. The author was Thomas Paine, who had been born and raised in England, come to America only about a year before. Common Sense sold 500,000 copies in its first year of publication, at a time when there were only about 2.5 million people living in all of the 13 colonies. Thomas Paine donated all the royalties to George Washington's Continental Army. It's the birthday of the historian Stephen E. Ambrose, born Decatur, Illinois, 1936. Football star at the University of Wisconsin, where he took a class with a history professor and decided to become a historian himself. His first book was about General Henry Halleck, Abraham Lincoln's chief of staff, a book that came to the attention of President Dwight Eisenhower.